was working in a hospital and I was medical superintendent, and we just couldn't cope with the numbers of people we were having in sick. And AIDS is a chronic illness, and you have people in and out of hospital all the time. So what we did was we set up a home-based care program where we had teams of nurses and sometimes a doctor going out into the community, visiting in homes, caring for the person in the home, and training the people in the home how to look after the person and not get infected themselves.
Mm.
And then we would have clinics either in the community or we would bring them to the hospital so if they needed to see a doctor. So it was only when they were acutely ill that we actually admitted them to the hospital.
Mm.
So in that way we were able to cut down the stress on the hospital beds.
Was there a stigma amongst the community if somebody in the community got AIDS, or even within a family if somebody got AIDS? Was there a fear about taking them in?
Yes, in the beginning there was, but we were very lucky in Uganda in the fact that we had a famous singer called Phil Lutaya, who went down with AIDS when he was in Sweden, came back to Uganda and went around singing songs about AIDS and appealing to people to help each other in this pandemic. And that helped because he was a very popular singer.
Mm.
And the fact that he came out open with it and encouraged other people, there was a lot more openness. And there was a lot of education went into then helping people to realise that taking certain precautions, you're not going to get AIDS if you look after somebody with their thing. And I must say, the ordinary people, particularly in Uganda, were great the way they responded.
Yeah. And what, so then you also helped set up some programs too to encourage people to take these precautions.
Yes, we had a lot of training programs out in the villages and in the communities and things, or whatever family we would visit where there was somebody with AIDS, we would teach them, you know, how to avoid getting contaminated themselves, or if they had to wash soiled linen, to put it out in the sun so the virus was killed before they actually handled it, or to use bleach or something to kill the virus. And a lot of that was simple things, and that you're not going to get it by sitting beside somebody, you know, or
holding hands or shaking hands or anything.
So it was, a lot of it was taking away the fear, and even at one stage there was the thought that maybe it was the mosquito was spreading it and people would get worried. So a lot of education went into. And then the president himself and his wife were great. They came out very strongly. And I remember me being at a meeting with President Museveni. This was when he called some of us medics to know what was this new disease was in the country. And he wanted to know all about it. And he asked us what had we done. So we sort of said, we've gone to this district and that district to educate. And he said, what about the next district? And somebody said, well, we're waiting for the donor money. And he said, we have an enemy in the country and you're waiting for money. He said, can you not get out there and talk? And he was right. And so he encouraged everybody to talk and actually made a ruling that for every politician who would address people, that they would speak about AIDS.
Mm.
And for every church leader that would speak, that they would also address the issue. Yeah. So there was a lot of cooperation and a lot right from the top down in addressing it.
Yeah. And what about, I mean, condoms have been seen as the magic bullet. I mean, what was your stance on that?
As a gynecologist, I realised a condom is never going to give you 100% protection. And science has shown that maybe it's 80 to 85% protection or effective. And there are various reasons why it fails. Maybe inconsistent use, maybe it breaks, maybe it leaks, maybe the rubber in the very hot climate you're supposed to store in a cool, dark place. But where's the cool, dark place in a tropical country out in the village? So there were many reasons why you would see that maybe the condom wouldn't work. And so a group of us got together. It was actually at the Dakar conference in West Africa. And we got together and we said, and we were from different Christian denominations, about 50 of us, and we said, what is the answer to AIDS? And we came up with a statement, which was known as the statement of belief, was saying that everybody can change, that everybody has that capacity. The best strategy in overcoming the AIDS pandemic was to look at the behaviours that were spreading the disease and to address them.
Mm.
And then Sister Kay Lawler, who is a medical missionary sister, came up with this process that we use to help people and to work with people to bring about change. And a lot of that would be social change, environmental change, And people look just looking at their own lifestyle and helping them to see where they're putting their lives at risk and to change.
And did that make a difference? Because, I mean, I presume people must have known already that they were putting their lives at risk. So what extra difference did it make to bring them this programme?
Well, I think the programme is done in groups. And so I think there's a group support in doing it. It would be a bit maybe like the AA. And, but also when you reflect it back to people, that you alone and you alone can make the choice. So what choice are you going to make? If you know that by going out there and being promiscuous, that you're going to get the virus, or there's a very high, big chance to get the virus, what decision do you want to make for yourself? And it was amazing how a lot of people would make that, and you would help them to see, well, then what can you put in place of maybe you might be not going to the nightclub or wherever you're putting your life at risk. What are you going to do instead? So it was sort of workshops that we help people to come to those decisions and then to support them in kind of taking the steps they needed to take.